Go with me to two openings today. We're going to lay two scriptures on top of each other. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. We're continuing our series called Extreme Makeover Faith Edition. We need to realize that it's so important as Christians that we live by faith. Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. In at least three different places, it talks about the just shall live by faith. In fact, the only thing that I know where it says that God was ever pleased with anything, it says that we please God with our faith. You don't please Him with your works. You please Him with your faith. Now, faith will cause you to work, but it's something that comes out of our faith life. We have used some terminology that I want to use again as we introduce this, because we have so many new people come to the church, and so I want us to be on the same page as we talk about this. But when we're talking about your faith life, we're talking about your belief system. Every one of us have a belief system. Your belief system drives the way that you do life, the way that you do business, the way that you do family, the way that you look at your marriage, the way that you look at the way that you spend your money, the way that you budget, the way that you give. Everything comes out of your faith life. What you believe. It's your belief system. It is the motivating principles of your life. Every one of us has a God-given GPS system on the inside of us. It's called our spirit. And our spirit desires to guide us through life. But we have to have the right principles in there so that it can guide us correctly. And whatever you put in is what comes out. That's just, you know, if you put whatever seed you put in the ground, that's what it raises. And if you put the wrong seed in your heart, guess what it's going to raise? It's going to raise the wrong thing. And you can deceive your heart by planting the wrong seed in your life. So we're learning how to live by faith, our faith system. Another word that we've used is philosophy. Philosophy is your guiding principles, how you see life. How you see things. See, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. We see them from our bases. In fact, you even see God through what you've been taught about God. You can believe something wrong about God, and that's the way that you see God. And that's the way that you'll react towards God. That's the way that you'll believe God is. That doesn't mean that He's that way. That just means what you believe about Him, and that becomes your faith. And you can miss out on so much in life if you believe the wrong things about something. See, truth is not relative. Sorry. Truth is not relative. 2 and 2 is 4. Truth is not relative. Gravity, the law of gravity works unless it's superseded by a higher law. I can say, you know what, I believe I'll step off here and I won't fall. Guess what? I can say that all I want to. If I step off here, the law of gravity is going to work. Doesn't matter what I believe about it, even though that might be my faith, I believe if I step off, I believe I can walk on air. That don't mean I can do it. That just means I believe I can do it. And if you learn to believe the wrong thing, guess what? You're not going to be satisfied with the results. We need to discover what truth is so that we can cooperate with truth. So, well, here's what I believe. Well, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe as far as the end results are concerned. You need to learn to believe the right thing. Okay? So, and it's called truth. And am I the almighty guru that knows all truth? No, I don't. I know what I know, but I don't know everything. That's why I believe that you just shouldn't listen to one person. I heard somebody say one time, named this TV preacher. He said, I believe everything that comes out of his mouth. I thought to myself, you fixing to be deceived. Not any one person has all truth. They don't. I don't have all truth. I wished I did, but I don't. I know where the truth is at. I'm discovering truth. I'm walking in what I do know, but I don't know everything. So therefore, I can only teach what I know. And the discovery of our faith life is discovering truth that will shape our lives in a way that brings glory to God. Now, I didn't say that in the first service, but somebody need to hear that. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and Psalms chapter 1. Now, today you can flip-flop, okay? You can be a flip-flopper today. Put your little ribbon in one and open the other so you can flip-flop. In life, you can't be a flip-flopper. But today you can flip-flop. Let me read Romans 12, 2, because these two verses really parallel each other. They're really the same thing. It just says it different. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a verse that we're, hey, it's up there. Did I quote it right? Okay, good. Then Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. You got it up there? I hadn't looked. In the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the wicked. Sinners, well, same difference. Or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now those are two parallel verses. Now the one thing I want you to notice as you look, flip back to Romans 12:2, both of these starts out with a negative. Sometimes God says some things to us, don't do this, but do this. You know, the Ten Commandments are kind of that way. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Not everything in life is a yes. Some things in life are a no. And the good thing about the no's is God sees the end result of the no. And he said, he didn't say that we couldn't do it. He just said, don't do it. Because if you do it, the end result will be bad. If you murder, the end result will be bad. If you do this, the end result will be bad. And therefore, he said, don't do it. So he says, now do this, because the end result of this is good. But this starts off with a negative. Now, look at the word, do not be conformed to this world. The ideal in this Greek word is to press into a mold or to be in union with the world. Now, flip back to Psalms 1. And it says, blessed is the man, and then it starts with a negative, who does not do three things. He does not walk, he does not stand, and he does not sit. As I begin to look at this, I realize that it is a progressive thing. We walk all the time. We walk in situations all the time, and we hear things. But it's the first thing it says is don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, one thing that all of us have happened in our life, there's people telling us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Isn't that true? There's people all the time, well, I tell you what, if that's me, I just knock them in the head. That's good counsel, isn't it? That was me, I'd just get them back. That was me, I'd sue them. If that was me, this is what I'd do. See, it tells us to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Where does ungodly counsel lead you? It leads you down a path that you don't want to go. Because the next thing that it talks about is that don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinner. Now, you can walk and you're going to hear things that you know you shouldn't hear. But you know what you need to do? You just need to keep on walking. When you stop and you stand, you're going to see you're in a path. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. Where does a path lead? It leads to a destination. Let me ask you a question. Where does the path of the sinner lead? To life or death? To destruction or blessing? It leads to destruction. So he says, don't stop and stand in the path of the sinner, because you'll go down the path. And then the next thing it says, nor sit. See, you see the progression? Walking, standing, sitting. That means you're taking up residence. The next thing it says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful or the mocker. If you listen to the counsel of the ungodly long enough, stand in the path of the sinner, you'll sit down in the seat of the scornful and you will become the mocker. You'll actually be led along that path, and it's destructive. You know what our natural inclination is? Our natural inclination is towards the flesh. Our natural inclination is not towards good, it's towards bad. I mean, when somebody does something to you, does the first thing that come to your mind is, I'm going to find a way to bless that person. Is that your natural inclination? Is that the thing that just jumps up in your heart and say, you know, somebody gossips about you and says something bad about you, and you think, I think I'll bake them a pie. I don't think that's the first thing that comes to our mind. Now, it could be. You know what comes to our mind? I'll tell you what I'll do. Bless God, I'll talk ugly about them. They think that was bad. I'll get them. You know, may the bird of paradise fly up your nose. May an elephant caress you with his toes. Yeah, that's what we think. Our natural default system goes towards the flesh. It goes towards selfishness. That's our natural default system. That's why when you're standing in a room and there's a lot of talking going on, when gossip starts, you know what your ear does? Honestly, you know what your ear does? It goes, whoop. It gets that big. And you can hear the gossip. If they were talking about something good, you couldn't hear it. But when it's gossip, whoop, you hear it. That's our natural inclination. And this is the very thing that it says, don't walk in that counsel, don't stand in that path, nor sit in that seat. Okay? That's the first thing it says not to do. And that corresponds with do not be conformed to this world. That's the way that the world works. The world is selfish. You know what the world's philosophy is? Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know what the kingdom philosophy is? That we increase by decreasing. We grow richer by giving, not by keeping. Now, I know some people have manipulated that, and I'm not talking about that. But honestly, the whole kingdom of God works on the principle of seed time and harvest. You reap what you sow. It's a true thing. If you sow to the flesh, guess what you're going to reap? Flesh. If you watch pornography, guess what you're going to reap? Lust. Oh, it gets quiet when you talk that way. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. That's the way the kingdom works. So be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now that word is metamorpho. Metamorphosis. The picture there is turning from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Now, you may look like a caterpillar, but God sees you as a butterfly. You may look in the mirror and see a caterpillar, but God sees a butterfly. He knows how He designed you. He knows how He made you. You have a program that when you got born again, that He put on the inside of you. In fact, even before that, your natural inclinations, you got spiritual gifts, you have a destiny that He has prescribed. But guess what? He's not going to do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. God supplies all of the things that we can't do for ourselves. He supplies the seed, the soil, the sun, the water, the rain, the seasons. We can't do that for ourselves. You know what our responsibility is? It's to walk not, stand not, sit not. That's the knots. But then it goes on to say, but His delight. Did you know that you can change your heart to delight in something? I've lost a bunch of weight lately. Guess what I've had to do? I've had to change what I delight in. I've had to go from fried food to baked food. I actually like it better now. I like fried taters. Woo, son. French fries. I could eat fried taters and French fries in the same meal. I could eat fried sweet potatoes and fried French fries. I like fried food. Fried chicken. Fried anything. What? Okra. Oh my gosh. I like all that. Guess what? I've had to change my delight. Fruit. Baked food. Chicken. If I eat any more chicken, I'm going to cluck. No, I like it. And actually, when I eat too much red meat, I don't feel right. What am I doing? I'm changing my desire. You know, to me, water is not the natural thing to like and to crave. But I can come to a place that I'm saying, okay, I'm going to drink water. And I'll drink water for about a month, and I start craving water. I'm changing my delight. See, it's not something that God does for us. It's something that we can do for ourselves. God does not ask you what's impossible for you to do. He only asks you to do what you can do. Now, you can walk not, you can stand not, and you can sit not, and you can change what you delight in. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, it's not easy. You open your Bible, and there's that Bible, especially if it's King James. I mean, it's these and thous and thuses and herewith and whereto's. And you're thinking, what does that mean? How am I going to like this? But you know what? When you begin to learn, you know, a new believer shouldn't start in the book of Revelation. Why is it that young Christians want to go to the book of Revelation? There's some kind of mystery. There's things that you need to learn that are very basic. And if you'll learn those and you'll internalize those, it'll cause you to increase in your heart for the things of God. But it says His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. Day and night. Let me say it another way. He wakes up and he thinks about it. As he goes to bed, he thinks about it. In the middle of the day, he's thinking about what God said, His precepts, His principles. You know what? You can come to the point that you look forward to the time that you have to be quiet and think about the things of God. Now, every one of us meditate. Did you know that? Every one of us are meditators. We don't call it that. Sometimes we call it worry. You meditate on what bothers you. You meditate on your problems. You meditate on your bank account or your lack of a bank account. You meditate on the bills that you gotta pay. You meditate on the things that you're afraid of. Fear. Fear is meditation. Worry is meditation. Why, you're supposed to worry about your loved ones. No, you're not. When you worry, you're basically saying, I don't believe God can take care of that. Worry's wrong. Boy, that's good. That's another one. That's about like that pornography stuff. But all meditation is thinking about something and delight to think in that. And it's amazing what happens, the metamorphosis that we talked about a while ago. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you begin to think on the Word of God. See, you can't change your mind. You can't transform your mind. You can change your mind. Women do that all the time. But you can't transform your mind, but the thing that you meditate on can transform your mind. It transforms the way that you think. The work is the work of God. You didn't supply it. God supplies the seed, the soil, the sun, the water, the seasons. What do you supply? The walk not, stand not, sit not, delighting and meditating. It's His Word that does the work. All you got to do is do what you can do. Well, I don't have time. Yes, you do. You don't take time. You don't have right priorities. You got to set priorities. Well, I've got to do this. Then you're fretting about things you shouldn't be fretting about. You got to have time to do this because this becomes the guide of your life. This becomes the thing that motivates your life. Now notice what it goes on to say in Psalms 1, the man who does this. It says that in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Now in my mind, I've always had a picture of this looking like this big riverbank. The gorgeous riverbank, sandy banks. And here's this tree that shot up by this bank. And it's really doing good because it's by this riverbank. That's not what the Hebrew means here. That word river means irrigation ditches. That's not as pretty, is it? That doesn't sound as good. I like the riverbank. But that's not what it means. And where it says that this tree is planted, that word means transplanted. In other words, this tree on purpose has been planted in a place that it can do the best. And this is what you've got to do with your life. You are the tree. It's talking about your life, your tree. You have to plant it in a place where it can do the best. You don't plant it in a desert unless it's a cactus. You plant it by the irrigation ditches. Now why about the irrigation ditch? Because the irrigation ditch is the one that has water in it all the time and it's watering the crops. And that tree that has been transplanted by that, its root system will go down into that moist soil and it will have moisture year round. In every season, it'll never be dry. And that's the picture of the person who delights himself in the law of the Lord. And in His law he doth meditate day and night. It says, he shall be like a tree transplanted by an irrigation ditch. Now, but notice what it says after that. Notice what it says after that. He'll bring forth its fruit in its season. When the season for fruit bearing is in, guess what this tree is doing? It is bearing fruit. When it's time for the leaves to fall off, what happens? The leaves fall off. When the tree is in its dormant stage out here above the ground, guess what? It's dormant. But guess what's happening underneath in the root system? It's gathering from the soil and the water the nutrients that it needs to put on the next season of leaves and fruit. Why can it do that? Because it always has the moisture that it needs, no matter what season that it's in. See, God supplies the seed, the soil, the sun, the water, and the seasons. What do? We walk not, we stand not, we sit not, we delight, and we meditate. That's our part. His part is the transformation. Then he goes on to say, his leaf shall not wither. You know why his leaf doesn't wither? Because in the dry season, when it's dry out here, there's still water in the ditch. The soil is still damp. It can still draw the moisture that it needs. No matter when it's dry out here, the root system still draws the nutrients and the moisture that it needs. That's a picture of the Word. So that's saying it doesn't matter what your circumstances in life are. It doesn't matter if the economy is good or bad. It doesn't matter what's going on out here, if you're happy or sad. Your root system is the very thing that supports you because you are planted by this rivers of water and your leaf shall not wither. Then he goes on to say, whatever he does, He does. You know, our problem is we're always wanting God to do something, and God's already done everything He's going to do. It says, whatever He does shall prosper. Didn't say whatever God. Everything that God does prospers. But there's some things that He put within our control. The destination of your life is not in His control. I mean, He supplied the miracle of paying for our sins on the cross. He made salvation available to us, but He doesn't twist your arm and make you become a Christian. And when you become a Christian, He doesn't make you live right. You have to choose. You've got a chooser. Every one of us has got a chooser. We choose what we believe. We choose what we do. God does not make you do anything. You have to choose. That's our part. I choose to walk not. I choose to stand not. I choose to sit not. I choose to delight, and I choose to meditate. And you know what it says? The result, the end result of what God has done and what I've chosen to do, it says that I can bring forth fruit in my season. I can be fruitful all the time. In season. Whatever season I'm in, the water sustains me. My leaf will not wither. I'll live out my life. I won't dry up and blow away. And whatever I do shall prosper. See, every one of us in this place today has a design. You're designed for something. You're not designed to do what I do. I'm not designed to do what you do. Only you know how God puts you together. Some of us are still trying to discover how God put us together. But the water is so unique that no matter what kind of tree you are, you may be a pecan, you might be a hickory nut, or you might just be a nut. You might be papaya, you might be apple, you might be a banana. But you know what? The same water and the same soil that we plant ourselves in is designed to bring forth the fruit that we've been designed to produce. It says, whatsoever He does shall prosper. You're made to prosper in some area of life. I'm not a businessman. My design is not to make money. I'm not in the money-making business. It takes a lot of money to do what we do, but I'm not a big fundraiser. Okay? Some of you are designed to make some money. Get planted and get to doing it. We need money. Okay. All of us are designed to do something. But the same soil and the same water that I'm planted in and you're planted in will produce the fruit that we're supposed to bring forth. Amen. We're not through with this. We got some more to go. We're going to talk about meditation and what that means. Joe is going to come, and I'm going to ask our prayer team to come at this time. We want to have a time of prayer where you can come and whatever it is that you need in your life, that God can meet you here at this place. Maybe you need to make Jesus Lord. That is getting in the right soil is the first thing you got to do. You can't be planted in the wrong soil. You got to be planted in the right soil. You need to be in God's kingdom. You don't need to be in the world, you need to be in God's kingdom. So if you've not made Jesus Lord, we've got people that can pray with you to do that. No matter what it is that you need from the Lord today, we just want to open this up for you to come. I want to pray a quick prayer, then Joe is going to come, and you just, whatever time you need to take with these who are praying, you come and do that. Maybe you need just somebody to encourage you or support you or pray with you about a certain situation in your life. It doesn't matter. It may be a physical problem. Maybe a spiritual problem. But God's here to meet you today. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You that it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord God, it goes right down to the very point of what we need in our lives. I thank You for the drawing in the wound of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.